The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network.
Financial independence actually gives us choices. So as you said before, it gives you the choice to quit a job that you feel trapped in and take a little bit of extra time to find a better one. It gives you the choice to end a toxic relationship because you're not trapped because of financial circumstances, or it gives you the choice to be there for a loved one when they need you.
Hello, Sunshine, and welcome to She Was the Fire. It's time to stop dancing in the dark. Let's start your fire and ignite your spark. I'm Courtney Mangan, and this is episode 4 of season 2. And today is my very first guest for the new season. So on today's episode, what we're going to be talking about is money, 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 money. Actually, you know what? That song is like the theme song for The Apprentice, Donald Trump. So now I'm like feeling triggered by singing that song. Okay, maybe I just won't do that next time. And as you know, on this podcast, I've spoken about taking control of my own financial freedom. And so that's something we have discussed before, but I thought maybe going more in depth with it would be really helpful for us all. It's a little selfish because I would like to know some expert tips in this area. So we're going to be talking about saving money, clearing debt, all of that kind of stuff today. But before we start, as always, I'm going to ask you for a little word of mouth love. So if you could, you know, screenshot this podcast and tag me on your Insta stories, or just like tag a friend in my most recent post about this podcast, whatever it is, tell a colleague, share the word, spread it with love with everyone. Anyway, that's all. Moving on. So today's guest is Tia, and she is the founder of Smart Women Society, which is an online education platform that helps women get smart about their money, career, well-being, and love lives. So today we're going to be focusing more on the money side of things, or maybe I should be asking for help in my love life. Who knows? But we're going to start with money. Just a bit of history on who Tia is to me. Back in August last year, one of my friends on Instagram posted about this account that she was following. I think it was like just a funny money quote, or maybe it was like a tangible tip about something to do with money. And I saw it and I was like, oh, Smart Women Society, that's up my alley. So I was a bit intrigued. So I went to the account and saw that it had some really amazing resources and tips for women around money and career, and a lot of that kind of like side hustle mentality stuff as well. And so I hit follow. And as I hit follow, because Tia is like a little master of Instagram, she sends me this message welcoming me to her page and saying like, thanks for joining the community. And also saying that she listened to my podcast and that she actually already followed me. So Tia shared that basically her goal was to help women get smart about their lives and help with important things that I guess we never learn in school, some of this stuff, which I love. So cut to late last year, I was booking guests for the Happy Hour podcast for Lucy and Nikki. And basically my job is to like source interesting content for their podcast to get different kinds of guests on all the time. And I thought that Tia would be really good to talk about money on their podcast. And then I thought, you know what, YOLO, my podcast is not as big as the Happy Hour podcast, obviously. I'm not getting a live show with 600 people rocking up and 4,000 people on a live stream. But I thought, you know what, YOLO, I'm going to ask. I'll never know unless I ask if she'll come on my podcast. So I put myself out there, asked if she'd come on, and she said yes. So I'm so excited. So anyway, today, as I said, we're going to be chatting about saving, clearing debt, money mindset, which I think is a really important discussion, especially for women, because Tia has highlighted to me through her Instagram some of the differences between men and women. So we'll be focusing on a whole heap of tangible takeaways. You know I love to give value. So there's going to be tangible takeaways. And also there's going to be a little Dissy code on some of her products to help you get your money life sorted as well at the end. So let's bring in Tia.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast today.
You're actually my first guest I've ever had like via the world outside, like the studio, like you're online. You're not here with me, but I can see you on the computer. So I feel like a little bit more connected to you.
So exciting. Even though we're so close, like I'm in Brisbane, you're down the coast, but unfortunately, we couldn't get
busy
in person today, which sucks.
Exactly.
Hopefully soon.
Yes, hopefully. All right. So before we always get started with the topic, I always ask my guests for a fire starter song. So I'll do mine and then I'll ask yours. So fire starter, if anybody is new here, is basically a song that gets you fired up. And I have a playlist that I put all the songs in on Spotify. If anyone wants to check that out, it'll be in the show notes. So my song for this week is Independent Women Part 1 by Destiny's Child, because I feel like that's kind of the vibe of where we're headed today.
Amazing. I love that.
And what is your song, Tia, that gets you fired up?
So I absolutely love the band Years and Years, and I love the song King.
Love that. I like had a bit of a sneak peek of it this morning. I was like listening to it. I was like, oh yeah, this is a good song. I like this. It's been added to the playlist. All right, let's ignite today's topic. So we're talking money. And I think obviously we just want to hear like a little bit about your background here, who you are and like why you are knowledgeable on this topic, I guess.
Cool. So my name is Tierra Angelos. I'm the founder of Smart Women Society. We're an online education platform that helps women get smart with their money, career, well-being, and love lives. And what sets us apart is that we give really practical and actionable tips and break down complex topics into really easy to understand content. So a bit about my background, I graduated from uni with a law degree and a commerce accounting finance degree. And then I headed straight into the workforce. I tried the law stuff, didn't really like it, tried the accounting stuff, didn't really like it. And I knew deep down that I didn't see myself as a lawyer or an accountant for the rest of my life. And I was actually listening to your Q&A episode last week, and you said you wanted to be a lawyer when you were younger, but then you realized it wasn't like the TV shows. And I couldn't relate to anything anymore if I could, because everyone thinks that law is like suits, and it really isn't. Like, it's not as glamorous as TV makes it out.
Exactly. Like, I watched A Few Good Men that was like, you can't handle the truth. I'm like, oh, it's so exciting in there. And then you get there and they're like wearing the wigs and the whole thing. I was like, okay, this isn't for me.
And everyone is so dry and bland, and it's just reading all day.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much. And then all throughout uni, I'd always had my own businesses. I've had a social media marketing business since I was 18, and I had a tutoring business for 7 years. And I really loved helping people and knowing that I was making a difference to that person's life. And SWS, the idea had always been on my mind for so many years. And one random night I was like, let's just start an Instagram, see what happens. And here we are today.
That's exciting. I think I also love the aspect of that you did all these things at uni, because I think that there's a lot of talk now, especially with the age of social media, where it's like you don't need a degree to start a business and do these things, which I do agree with to some, you know, in some respect. But it's the same with Sam. He has a law degree, but he realized that wasn't for him. But he's been able to use that base that he had, just like you were given, obviously, a lot of the skills that you now utilize in this social media platform. But, you know, it's like you still had that good base, and you have to think so narrow-minded. It's like a lawyer, you know, do law, becomes a lawyer, do accounting, become an accountant. You know what I mean? I think it's really good still to have those like skills and use them in other ways now. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, 100%. Couldn't agree more. I don't regret my degrees whatsoever, but I think now, like, there's so many avenues that you can take with study or with your career that you don't have to be a traditional lawyer graduating with a law degree.
So tell us a bit more about Smart Women Society. Like, what was the moment where you were like, I'm starting an Instagram for this stuff and I'm getting a website and I'm doing the whole thing?
Yeah, so it started off as a passion project as a student, and then I was a university tutor that I was teaching classes of over 25 students, and I was always really passionate about simplifying complex topics.
Oh my God, how old are you? You don't even seem old enough to have done this. You're like, I was a teacher.
I'm turning 25.
Oh my God. You're like, you seem like you were younger than the same age as the students. Yeah, wow. Very impressive. So.
Yeah, and I would always be drawing like simple graphics or flow charts, and the students loved it. And I always wanted to bring that same approach to a larger scale to help simplify life topics that we were never really taught about. And it kind of picked up quickly with Instagram, and I was like, I think we're onto something here. And then over time, we created our website, and then we had big demand for more in-depth content. And then we worked with a big team of experts to create our first collection of game plans, which are our digital ebook bundles that include like all the knowledge and all the tools you need for a topic in our easy to understand style.
So it's been going for about a year now, hasn't it? Is that about right? And you have over 70,000.
Yeah, it's my birthday today, actually.
Oh my God. Happy birthday. That's so exciting.
Thank you.
I feel like I remember what it's like to like start a business. You're like, oh my God, we made it a year. Like, it feels like you've really accomplished something, because so many businesses fail in their first year. It's insane. So good for you. Well done. And now you have over 70,000 women in your community, like across all your different platforms, which is insane. And even though a year is a really short period, like, how has everything sort of evolved from when you first started to today?
I think for us, everything is based on our community. Our community is the backbone of everything we do. We always listen to what they want to see, what they're struggling with, and we create content and resources in response to that. So the whole year and going into our next 5, 10, 20 years of business, like, we'll just keep listening to what people are after and just breaking down the topics that they're finding challenging. And I think that's what people have resonated with and why we've grown quite quickly.
So for me today, I guess, like, you know, I'm saying it's for the listeners, but I'm a bit selfish. Like, I'm trying to learn my own things as well and become, like, more, you know, better with my finances. I think because I don't have kids, I don't have a family, sometimes you can be a little bit more reckless with your money because, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, like, saving for school fees and, like, all that, you know, like a home loan, all that kind of stuff, and I need to be better with it. So I wanted to have you on today. And one thing that really resonates with your content, as you said, was that it's really simplified because finance and saving, all, it just seems complicated, I think. And I think the way that you sort of break everything down is what sort of stands out for me. It makes it really simple so it's not as scary and overwhelming. And so one thing that you've also talked a lot about is like money mindset. Can you elaborate on that a little bit for me?
Yeah, for sure. So our money mindset and our beliefs and the attitudes that we have towards money, it's super important because that's what shapes how we handle our money on the day to day. And usually our money mindset is shaped by how we grew up around money, our experience with it growing up, and witnessing how our parents handled it and how people in our lives interacted with money. So for example, if you come from a household where your dad was handling all the finances and your mom didn't make any of those decisions, then that's really going to impact how you see money and treat money as an adult. And similarly, if money was always a source of stress in your family, it was always quite scarce, that's going to impact how you handle money as well as an adult. And I think a lot of people tend to have a lot of limiting beliefs when it comes to money, especially women, that it's too hard or it's too complicated or they'll just never be good with their money. And that's the thing when you have limiting beliefs is that once you say to yourself, I'm not good with money, you'll never do it and you'll never be better with money. And I think when you have these kind of limiting beliefs, it actually stops your ability to grow and form a positive relationship with your money. And so if you really want to do better and be better with your money, it's important to start looking at these beliefs that you've developed over your lifetime and work on changing those first.
Interesting. And I think that also, like, as you said, seeing like how your parents sort of modeled that structure in the household, I think that it does really show for me, especially the difference between the money mindset for men and the money mindset for women. And you can see, like, you know, male colleagues or whatever might be talking about investments that they're making and stocks and, like, you know, what they're doing with the money that they're making. And they're very, I guess, like, they're more confident speaking about that stuff, whereas I feel like I've always been taught, like, you don't speak about money, politics, like, that's the stuff that you, like, just keep to yourself and you don't ask people out. You know what I mean? It's like, I feel like as women we're kind of told to, like, be quiet a little bit about it. So how important was it for you to make sure that you were targeting women for this rather than being, like, you know, money society for everybody? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think I totally agree with what you were just saying, that I always listen to my partner and his friends and they talk about their savings and their investments and they have this really open dialogue about their money, whereas with my friends, we just don't talk about it. Like, it's not a topic of conversation that comes up if we go for brunch. And I think, as you said, like, we're a little bit shy to talk about our finances, and it's actually not a good thing. We should be talking about our goals and our budgets and just opening up the dialogue. And that's kind of why I wanted to more focus on women, because I think we just connect differently with each other. Like, we talk about money in a different way, and opening up that communication and that dialogue about finances is something that was really important for us.
I think also for me, I remember when I was younger, my mum used to watch Oprah all the time, and I'm, you know, ride or die for Oprah. She used to have this woman on there called Susie Orman, and she was like, you know how she would have, like, Dr. Phil, and he would be like her go-to person for psychology.
Susie's amazing.
Yeah. And then she'd have like Dr. Oz, and he'd be like the health person. This was like her financial person. And I remember that she would have women on and go through their finances and stuff, but her main kind of focus was really about women making sure that they're independent of their husband, their partner, whatever is money, because women can be so, the decision-making process can be so controlled by money and feel trapped. And it does seem to be a common thing where it's like, you know, women can't get their own home loans unless they've got a partner. You know, even for me, it's like, my friends are like buying houses and stuff and they're like, why aren't you doing that? I'm like, in my mind, a limiting belief is like, well, I don't have a plus one person that I'm halving everything with, and a man, it makes it a bit, you know what I mean? And it's like, that's a limiting belief of mine. But I think that even, you know, in a more darker situation, women feeling like they can't leave because the man controls the money and they don't have their own financial independence. And so I think that women being able to take control and have that independence is really important. And is that something that you kind of like focus on as well, like making sure women are like separate from their partners almost with their finances too? Not necessarily like completely separate, but have their own backup if they need it, you know?
Yeah, I think, well, every couple is different, obviously, but for an individual, if you're partnered up or not partnered up, being financially independent is just so important. And the reason for this is that when you are financially independent, it allows you to make your own decisions and make those decisions without any influence or control from other people. And even more importantly than that, financial independence actually gives us choices. So as you said before, it gives you the choice to quit a job that you feel trapped in and take a little bit of extra time to find a better one. It gives you the choice to end a toxic relationship because you're not trapped because of financial circumstances, or it gives you the choice to be there for a loved one when they need you. And that's why it's so important to have a plan for your money yourself and be putting money away into an emergency fund and into savings, so you never get into that situation where you feel stuck or trapped or held back by your money.
I think it's a funny kind of topic because I think with the growth of obviously influencers, Instagram, we've seen a lot of the ability for women to make a lot more money in that, within that industry. Typically, women are the big leaders in Instagram in that sort of platform. There's not a huge amount of like big male influencers. So we're seeing a lot of relationships online where the female is the dominant money maker. And even Mitch Orville and Chloe Zepp the other day, they kind of addressed something where Mitch had said, well, originally Chloe was paying, you know, 80% of the rent and I was paying 20% because she made so much money and we still have separate finances, even though they've got a kid together. And it was just like, she's the breadwinner here. So I think we're starting to see more of these role models in women, that it's like, okay, women are taking control of their own finances and, you know, women are earning more than men in some situations, which is amazing. And I think that hopefully over time, the more we see that, the more we'll be open to talk about it a little bit better, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's awesome to see that so many women are doing so well and are earning so much more now in their fields. And that's what it comes down to now, like just getting educated so you're managing your money in a lot, like in a better way, and just being able to kind of, just know how to handle your money better, and especially like not being controlled by your partner or someone else telling you how to handle it.
Exactly. All right, let's get into the tangible advice. This is the part that I like the most. I like to make sure that everyone's getting value when they tune into this podcast. So I think let's talk more about, before we give like the top tips or whatever, let's talk about the mistakes that people are making when it comes to handling and organizing their finances.
Yeah, so there's quite a few mistakes. I'll probably stick to three or four. So first one, especially just not educating yourself about your finances and convincing yourself that you'll just always be bad at money. And there's so many people that get themselves into that mindset and just convince themselves that they will never be able to do better. They'll never be able to handle their money better. I think that's a big mistake that a lot of people make. And as well as that, a lot of people just don't have a plan for their money. They might make good money, as you said, a lot of those influencers. But if you don't have a plan for it, you don't actually keep track of what's coming in and out, then you're not actually going to be better off in the future. And it can feel tedious to kind of track your expenses, but there's no other way that you can have a good handle on your money if you don't know what you're spending every month. And I saw on your stories this morning from the Life Hack calendar, and it said, if you're afraid to check your bank account, check your bank account. And I think a lot of people kind of live in that state where they just would rather not think about it and just hope for the best when they go to a restaurant and hope that their card doesn't decline, when really you just need to be keeping a bit better track of what's coming in and out. And that's going to be a massive game changer. And as well as that, some other things like not being prepared in case of an emergency. The last thing you want if an emergency comes up is just being stressed about where you're going to get the money to solve that emergency.
I remember years ago, you have a tire blow and it's like, oh my God, I need to find a few rolls to fix this. So it's all, or you get like a toothache and it's like, it'll go away. I don't need to go to the dentist and pay $700 for that.
The dentist is always expensive.
Yes. Oh my God. Or like your pet gets sick. Oh my God, pets, they cost a fortune as well. And you're like just hoping and praying nothing goes wrong because you're spending, like I used to, the same. I used to live week to week with my check as well, you know, how much money I would make every week. And that's exactly how much I would spend. Now I do the same thing. However, I make Sam withhold parts of my wages in like a separate account so I can't access it. So I spend what I'm given and the rest like Sam takes out before it hits the account. Not Sam physically, it was Sam years ago, but now it's like obviously our accountants, it's like withheld from me so I can't touch it. But that's how bad I am. Otherwise money burns a hole in my pocket. I'm like, I need to spend it.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are in that same situation. It's like, they just I don't know if it's the same for you, that you just think you're like, it's money's too hard, managing your finances is too hard, but there's actually just really simple steps that you can take, just creating a budget for yourself. And I think as well, the word budget just has this really negative connotation. It's almost seen as if it's a dirty word, and a lot of people just don't want to be on a budget. But really, a budget is just a plan for your money, and just knowing that every month that I get paid, 20% goes to my rent or 20% goes to fun. And it's really just allocating your money so you can do all the things that you love doing and not run out by the end of the month and be eating 2-minute noodles for your last couple of days. So,
been there before. All right, let's get into like the top tips for women who want to save money. What are those? And one of the things I just want to put out there that I see with my friends all the time that I think is like one of the dangerous things that I've seen done is like, oh no, it was on sale. This was just $5. It was just a couple of these $10 things. And all of a sudden you've got like all these little things and then you've spent several hundred dollars because you bought a bunch of little things. I think that's one of the big dangers where it's like, oh yeah, that coffee mug's cute. Like it's just $7. And then you do that with several things throughout the week and all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, like that was $100 just gone like that.
Especially like any trip to Kmart, it just adds up to $200 or something like that. I think that situation is avoidable. Like, as I said, if you had a budget and you allocated $50 a week to just miscellaneous random spending, and that kind of keeps you in control a little bit, that you're like, okay, I've got $50 to spend on whatever I want. And then you're allowed to buy that coffee mug or that random t-shirt or whatever that you find online. But in terms of savings tips, biggest one is set yourself some savings goals. And there's no point just saving for the sake of it. You want to make sure that what you're saving for is something that you really, really want, because it's going to actually motivate you to achieve that goal faster. If you're just saving money because someone's told you you should be saving money, you're probably going to get off the bandwagon and transfer money back out of your savings account. So it's important to figure out what you really want. Is that a house? Is that a new car? Is that a bag? Or so labeling that is kind of really important to motivate you for the journey. In terms of some more practical tips, the biggest one that we always advocate for is just break down that savings goal. Just break it down into how many weeks it's going to take you to get to that goal. So for example, if you want to save $5,000 by the end of the year, divide 5,000 by 52 and then set that up as a transfer every week, month into your savings account. So that's the easiest way. So it just happens behind the scenes and you don't have to think about it. Some other ones you can do is a savings challenge. A lot of people are really visual. You can print off. We have some awesome ones on our website, some savings challenges where you can color in a box or cross something off to motivate you every time you save money towards a goal. And another really great one that a lot of people recommend is gamifying your savings. So turn savings into a little bit of a game. And every time you go to the gym, transfer $10 to your savings, or every time you walk 10,000
I wouldn't save much money if I did that. Every time I eat chocolate.
Every time you go shopping, transfer an extra 10.
That's what I should do.
But yeah, but just finding something that you do, or even something that you do regularly, and turning that into a bit of a game and transferring money to your savings, it kind of makes it a little bit more fun, because a lot of people do hop off that bandwagon and just kind of give up on their savings. But just minor changes, I think, is the first step that you can take instead of being really restrictive and just stopping having fun or stopping doing anything with your money.
One thing you were, I guess, the other day on the Wild Ones Happy Hour podcast, and you had mentioned that when you know, say you are going to buy a dress that's $100 and it's on sale and you get $20 off, to then transfer that $20 into your savings account. I thought that was like a really good idea.
Yeah, that's another one. So as I said, yeah, if you buy something on sale, then transfer that difference, because a lot of the time you probably maybe would have already purchased at full price. So transfer that saving, or if you use a discount code, transfer the money that you've saved using the discount code into your savings. And those little bits add up quite quickly. And there's also roundup features that a lot of banks offer. And it might only be 50 cents here, 50 cents there, but over 365 days, that really adds up to a decent amount of savings.
Exactly. All right. So if people, once they finish this podcast, obviously everyone's listening to the end. So once they're finished, what is the one thing that they can do today that will make like an impact on their bank account?
Oh, I have a couple of quick, easy ones. So right. I'll just run through all of them and everyone can pick and choose which one they want to do. The biggest one is start tracking your expenses. Like, just either you can use it manually. There's apps. We have some tools as well if you want to use one of ours. And just start tracking your expenses and figuring out exactly where your money's going to every month, because a lot of the time people don't actually realize that they spend $500 a month on Uber Eats. And then when they see it, when they start tracking, it's like, holy shit, And so that's one of the big things that you can start doing today. Another one is automate your bills and automate your savings so you never miss out on them, so you never miss a deadline, or you're always making sure that you transfer savings. I know you said Sam was doing it for you before and the accountant. You can just set up an easy automation every time you get paid. And another big one is cancel any subscriptions you don't use. I'm sure everyone listening probably has one that they've forgotten about, and it just drains your bank account. You probably don't even realize it's coming out every month.
So true. That's like, I go through mine regularly because I always feel like stressed about how many streaming services that I have. And I'm like, no, I'm still watching that one.
Editing apps.
Oh my God. Yes. I'm like, when did I start paying for this? Yeah, I'm the exact same. But yeah, I always go through my phone and look at like the Apple subscription ones just to see like, what am I doing there? That is one thing, the one thing I am checking up on, thank goodness.
But
I love all those tips. And I think it is just about being like, more aware. I think a lot of us, including myself, you know, like we're putting our head in the sand and it's like, you know, I sort of know how much is in there because I spend similar amounts every week, but I'm not like, and even I feel like I go to the shops and I buy like what I want. Like my mum will know like the price generally for apples per kilo and the price of rice. Like I actually have no idea. Mum's like, well, how much do you usually spend on this? I'm like, I don't know. If I need rice, I just buy the rice. I'm not sure. And then she's like, you paid like $15 a kilo for those peaches. They're about $3 down. I'm like, oh, I don't know. Is that a lot? Is that a little? I have no idea. Like I'm so terrible with that stuff. But I think that once you start to like recognize it, then you'll be more aware of it, I think. I think that's what's like the key thing, like as you said.
Yeah, and as well, it becomes a habit after a while. Like it's going to be tedious for the first couple of weeks when you're tracking your spending, but after a couple of weeks, it just becomes second nature and you're like, oh, actually, that was really interesting that I spent this much out at dinner when I didn't really need to spend that much. And you become more aware of things, as you said, and after a while, it just becomes second nature and tracking it's actually quite interesting to learn more about your money and your spending habits.
Yeah, and I do also want to point out, like, obviously I know that I'm very privileged that I can, like, spend and not look at the price of rice. And a lot of people, you know, obviously I make a good living and my expenses are literally just for me. There's no kid or husband or anything like that. So I do want to recognize that it's, like, a bit obnoxious. And I'm like, I don't know how much rice is. But, you know, this is how crazy I've been living my life. So, all right. Let's get into some questions from the listeners. So I asked out on my Instagram if anybody had any questions. There were some very like in-depth ones, which like I think you need to speak to like a professional finance person that looks at your own things individually, not like blanket advice. But there were a few that I think would be applying to everyone, so that would be good. So one of them was I had someone saying that they share their finances with their partner. And I think this is an interesting topic. It was actually on the Outspoken podcast the other day. The girls were talking about Mitch and Chloe as I mentioned earlier, and they were talking about, you know, like, do they have joint accounts? Do they have separate accounts? Do they pay 50-50 for their rent? All of those kinds of things. What are your tips on sharing finances with your partner?
Yeah, and totally agree with what you said and what that other podcast said. There's no right or wrong answer for this one. Every couple is really different. As you said, some couples prefer having totally separate finances. Some couples like having everything joint. A lot of couples have a joint bills account and their own spending accounts. And it really is a personal decision. It comes down to what works the best for the two people. And what I will say is communication and honesty about your finances is absolutely everything. And a really good thing that you should be doing with your partner is setting up a date night once a month and grab some wine, have some pizza, whatever you like, and make it fun and chat about your financial goals that you have together and your expectations when it comes to money. And being on the same page with your finances is so important, and because money is actually one of the biggest friction points in a relationship. So it's so important that you're on that same page with each other and you know what your goals are and you work towards them as a couple, and make these financial date nights a regular thing so you can check in with your budget and your progress towards your goals and discuss any issues that you might have within your finances and within the relationship.
I totally agree. I, you know, this is going back some time because I have been in relationships before. I know people, I have been single for a while, but money was one of the big things for one of my previous relationships because I did earn more, which I didn't mind, obviously, like whatever, I don't care. However, I would be the person always paying for the collective things. So if we went to the movies, if we wanted to go to a nicer restaurant, whereas then all of his money would go towards PlayStation games, his beer budget, all that kind of stuff. And it became like a real friction point where it's like, I understand that I earn more, but why does all of your money get to be your solo stuff? And then my money has to be like our joint things, you know. And so whatever your combination is, it can build up over time, that resentment, unless you've been like really upfront about the boundaries and like what the setup is over time. So obviously if you sit down and you say like, I earn more money, I want to live somewhere nicer, I'll pay more rent, then that's great. You've had that discussion up front. But having that expectation where he would go out and spend all his money out in the night with his mates, then I'm expected to buy all of our groceries every week, made me really frustrated.
Yeah, and it does cause a lot of relationship breakdowns because people are on different pages with their finances, and it is such an important topic in a relationship. So having that really open communication and honesty and figuring out what works for you as a couple is so important, and that's probably the biggest tip.
Another tip from the same person that asked that question was asking, she's really good at saving, he's terrible. How can you help your partner save if you're a good saver?
This is so common as well. We get this all the time in our DMs. And I think at the end of the day, you can't force someone to do something that they don't want to do. So I would never recommend taking the approach of just telling your partner you need to save or giving them a really strict ultimatum, like if you don't save money, then it's over between us. And as we chatted about before, being really open in your communication about money with each other and setting some shared goals that you're really excited to achieve as a couple is going to motivate motivate your partner to want to achieve that goal. And it's a great starting point. And as well as that, keep encouraging your partner, tell them that you're proud of them and get crafty on ways that you can cut costs or have date nights that are cheaper. And if you're a competitive couple, which I know a lot of couples are, do a savings challenge together. We have a lot of couples in our community that they print one off each and they race to see who can finish it first. So that's another tactic if you're a little bit more competitive.
That's a good one. That's me. I'm single, but I am competitive. Maybe I can try and figure out a way to compete with myself.
Don't look your best friend at work.
Yeah, good idea. All right. So impulse spending, I would say that's probably my worst thing. I'm like, oh, pretty. I need it. That's probably where I would say my struggle is. Or if I'm at the shops, it's like, oh, I feel like this. All right, I'll get it. Whatever. You know, that's like my, even in Woolworths, it's just like, oh, yeah, I probably don't really need that like new limited edition chocolate bar that's brought up, but like, oh, it looks nice. Yeah, I'm sure I'll get it. I'm really bad with impulse spending. Oh my God, yes. I didn't buy that. Somebody else in the office did, but like I will be later on in the week probably, no doubt. But yeah, it is definitely something that's like an impulse thing. How do you stop yourself from impulse spending?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing when you're impulse spending, impulse shopping, is recognizing the mood that you're in when it's happening. A lot of the time that we impulse shop or impulse spend, we're either upset, we've had a bad day at work, we're just bored and we want something new, we're lonely, we're tired, we're angry, we're hungry is another big one, especially when you're at the grocery store. So being aware of that mood that you're in is the first step to stop you from impulse shopping. And as well as that, another good tip is wait 24 hours, wait 48 hours, even wait a week before you buy something, because when that time has lapsed, most of the time you'll find you never actually even wanted that thing in the first place. And practicing that delayed gratification is really important. And another one that we're a really big fan of is calculating how many hours you need to work to buy something, especially a bigger purchase. If you want to buy a nice bag or something, say you wanted to buy a Louis Vuitton bag that was $1,000, you make $25 an hour, calculate how many hours of work you need to work to be able to afford that bag. And it really changes the game. And you go, do I want to work that many hours? Maybe not. I'd rather just leave it.
So that's how another, many notepads do I need to sell to buy this bag? Well, I think that's a good one, because that's a very old tactic in the dieting world, where it's like, if you want to eat that cherry ripe, this is how many hours you need to spend on the treadmill. So that's like a similar kind of thing. And it makes you think like, I don't want to spend that many hours on a treadmill. So I guess that's like a similar mentality. That's an interesting one. I also, there's an Instagram account that I follow. So those two girls is the account, Sarah and Lise, and they're on the radio in Brisbane. And Sarah at the moment, she's doing this thing where basically it's just like shopping her wardrobe, where she's not allowing herself to buy anything new. And she's like going into her wardrobe, looking through old stuff and figuring out like new ways to style it, you know, even like tailoring things a bit differently, cutting long dresses into shorter dresses and like all that kind of stuff. So like shopping your own wardrobe, which I think is a really good idea. And I did that last year with my beauty collection. I have a lot of makeup and I was like, stop, like you have so much shit. Do you like, I'm sure that blush color is already in my collection somewhere. So I started going through my older stuff and being like, reusing that, felt like, oh, this is a new color because I haven't, you know, had it in rotation for a while. So I think that's a good thing as well, to assess like what you already have in your home that you can like, you haven't used in a while, so it feels fresh.
I think the wardrobe one is a massive thing as well. And everyone kind of has their thing. I know for me, it's a black dress. And I'm always like, oh, I don't have that style of black dress, when really I have 10 other ones at home. And exactly as you said, shopping your own wardrobe and getting creative with what you have at home is also a fun way to rediscover things that you forgot you had in the first place.
I have one of our friends who, you know, buys a lot of designer things, but when she's sort of looking at buying something new, she will have to sell something old, so that it's like, okay, I've had this Gucci bag for 2 years now, I'll sell this one so that it can help pay for a majority of the next one. So she's like always like recycling that whole, she's like not reusing it, but she's getting rid of it and then making the money back from it. So at least it's not like the full spend and she's not accumulating lots of junk, which I think is like a bit of an interesting one as well.
Yeah, and a lot of people as well, like they'll buy one outfit, especially if it's a bit of a nicer outfit, and then they'll hire it out after they wore it. So they actually make back what they spent on the dress or the outfit from hiring it out 5, 6, 7 times, which is another really like crafty hack, which I think is really cool.
Oh, that is a good idea. All right. The other one that I was asked a lot was about home loans. So people were asking what the best way to start the process of saving for a home, because that's a big chunk of money, a home loan, and it can seem really daunting when you need to have, you know, tens of thousands of dollars saved. Where is the best place to start with something like that?
I think firstly, you need to figure out your savings goal. How much do you actually want to save up to put down as your deposit on a property? And it's also a good idea at the beginning to chat to your bank or chat to a mortgage broker, and they can give you an indication of the price range that you can afford. And most mortgage brokers are actually free to speak to, because they make money from the commission if you take out a mortgage loan with them down the track. So figuring out how much you can afford, what your savings goal is your starting point. And then kind of as we touched on before, breaking it down into just little chunks. So if you want to save $50,000 in 3 years, you'll need to put aside approximately $1,400 a month. So make this part of your budget, automate that every month when you get paid. And then it kind of happens in the background without you even needing to think about it. And then on top of that, if you want to hit that goal even faster than just your monthly installments, think about ways that you can make more money. Can you take on more hours at work? Can you get a second job? Can you start a side hustle? Can you sell stuff around the house and put all that extra money into your house deposit as well?
Love that, getting that side hustle business going there. Even just like selling shit on eBay or Marketplace that you've got lying around that you don't need, like you can make some money off that. That's a good idea. The other thing, which is obviously a big thing for me as well, is to stop, how to stop wasting money on food.
Yeah. And I think the easiest answer for this one is plan your meals. Sit down once a week and figure out what you want to be eating for the week. I know a lot of people like meal prepping, or other people just like knowing what they're going to be cooking for dinner that night. So when they come home, they have it and they're ready to go to start cooking, as opposed to just then being tempted to get Uber Eats. And I think there's also a lot of ways that you can save money on your groceries. So making a list so you know everything that's in your fridge, everything you know that's in your pantry, so you're not buying the same thing over and over again when you already have it in the pantry. Another one that's really popular is shopping online, so you're not tempted by just grabbing random things off the shelves, and you can also see all the sales that are happening on the Coles and Woolworths website. And another one is looking if it's cheaper at your local market or at bulk food stores like Costco is really popular now, as well as looking at Aldi. They have a lot of cheaper alternatives. And another one that a lot of people forget is rewards programs. Like if you actually tap your Woolworths rewards card, every $100 you shop or something, you get $10 off. And that's just easy savings and easy ways that you can stop wasting money on groceries and stuff like that.
Well, there was a lot of people that apparently, I don't know, because as soon as it comes up with $10, I'm like, yeah, use it now. But what a lot of people were doing last year, I heard, was that they were saving those $10 for the Christmas period. And then they had like $200 when it came to December to spend on like the big Christmas Day food spends. That's a good idea as well, to like save your savings within your Woolworths card. That's an interesting one. And for me, yeah, food is a big one for me. And it's something that last year I tried to focus on. It wasn't necessarily wasting money, but in turn it is. I was getting a lot of food wastage, and I find, like, obviously because I'm single, when you buy something, you know, if I buy mints, that's a lot of bloody mints for me to go through myself, and I don't really want mints every single day, you know. And so one thing that I started implementing, which is what I actually put on my my shopping list that I sell on my Courtney Mangan Co., is the expiry date of the meats, so that I can, you know, when I go home tomorrow and then I'm like, oh, okay, I'll use my pork now, and then it expired 2 days ago and I forgot that I should have used the pork before the chicken because the chicken had a longer expiry date and all that kind of stuff. And another good thing I think is always check the expiry dates of like dairies and like any of the meats in the department, because you'll pick it up because they put the ones at the front that are expiring sooner. And then all of a sudden, if you dig a little bit, you can get that milk that gives you an extra bloody week. Love that.
Love that. It's so true.
Yeah. All right. So before we finish up, there's a couple more questions, and these ones are from me. I'd like to know about some resources. Do you have any like good books or podcasts that you can recommend for people who want to like learn more about this financial journey they need to be focusing on?
So I'm a big reader, so I read a lot of personal finance books, and some of my favorites are Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, and Unshakable by Tony Robbins was a really good read. He interviewed some of the biggest names in finance and asked for their tips and how to get started. And then closer to home, Smashed Avocado by Nicole Haddo is really great if you're looking to buy your first property, especially on your own.
Oh my, that's the go-to thing, isn't it? Stop eating avocado and getting coffee out every day. That seems to be the number one way to save money, doesn't it? Oh my gosh, it's always the go-to. Like how much avocado are we actually eating? Like how much would I really save if I stopped eating avocado? I don't know. I don't drink coffee, so I can't even like, you know, do that one. But I feel like you would save a lot of money if you made your own coffee. I think even here, Sam moved to like a machine here because the coffee around the corner was like too expensive in his mind. And so we got a coffee machine here, which is a very expensive coffee machine. But over time, using something like that does end up saving you money in the long run. So maybe there are little things as well that you can buy that might be a bit more expensive, but over the long run, they save you money. All right. So before we finish, I'm sort of wanting to make sure that we're doing an episode recap this year, because I want to make sure that when someone finishes, there's a lot of content to go over. And so it's important that I think we finish each episode recapping the top takeaways. So what do you feel like, everything that you've talked about today, what are the top takeaways for the listeners?
Okay, let's do five. So number one is think about your money mindset and any limiting beliefs that you have when it comes to money. Number two is set yourself some financial goals. And if you're in a couple, sit down and talk with your partner about the financial goals you have as a couple. Number three is automate transfers to your savings so they happen automatically, and automate all your bill payments so you never miss out on them. Number four is set a budget and start tracking your expenses so you know what's coming in and out. And number five, know that 2021 is going to be your best money year yet.
Love that. All right. So before we go as well, obviously before we get into our final segments, guys, you know, I like to give homework sometimes. So do you have any like little activity that people can do that like I can follow up next week and be like, how did your homework go?
And I've harped on about it quite a bit throughout the episode, but sit down, grab a notebook. We also have a free spending diary, and write down all your transactions that you make in 1 week, and physically write them down because it makes you a lot more connected with what you're spending when you write it down every day. And as you're doing this, think about how you're feeling when you actually made that purchase, and it'll make you think about that whole purchase a lot more. And at the end of the week, grab some highlighters and start categorizing and figuring out the areas that you spent the most on. Pick two of them, could be Uber Eats, could be online shopping, and then the following week, try cut back on those a little bit. So that's a little bit of homework to ease yourself into it.
All right. I feel like I'm like, okay, start now, and this afternoon I'm going to buy a new car. So it's like, I feel like I'm not starting
great.
That's
a big one. At least you'll feel good about it.
Yeah, exactly. So before we finish up this segment, you have like something special for the listeners that you wanted to share?
Yeah, so we've created a special discount code for anyone listening today. So use the code SWTF10 and you'll get 10% off all our game plans and all our tools on our website.
And so that's obviously like She Was a Fire, you know, the letters are abbreviated. You got that, guys. So SWTF10. And so with your game plans, so I have a couple of your game plans and basically the money ones. It's like you get given like a Excel sort of spreadsheet thing that you then input your data, and then you've got it all automated that it makes it like really pretty and visual and easy to look at like where you're spending, where you need to not spend. And I'm like really big on like an Excel doc. So this was just like my jam when I got this late last year. And so, yeah, your other game plans as well, what sort of, not all of them are finance though, are they? You have other things. Share what they are.
Yeah, so SWS covers four pillars: the money, career, well-being, and love. And we released four game plans in our first collection. So the money one is Ultimate Money Makeover, and it's pretty much an A to Z of everything you need to get in control of your finances. We have a Side Hustle 101 game plan that steps you through how to start a side hustle or a small business. We have 100 Days of Self-Care, which is challenging yourself to a self-care challenge, and then Overcoming Toxicity. So if you have any toxic relationships or friendships or a toxic job that you're in, it's a really great step-by-step step on what you can do if you're in that situation.
Love that. Go check those out, guys. All right. Let's finish with the final few segments. First up, we have what gets you fired up, Tia. So I ask all of my guests this, and it can either be something that like gets you really motivated and you're really passionate about, or it could be the other way and things that really get under your skin and get you angry. What are you going to go with?
So I'm going to go with the passionate side. And for me, what makes me so passionate and the whole ethos behind the business is just seeing people make positive change in their life and investing in themselves and investing in their growth. That makes me so excited for that person. And yeah, it gets me really fired up.
Do you get messages from women who have been able to like buy things, start dream businesses, all that kind of stuff from like the impact of your game plans?
Yeah, all the time we get so many messages saying that our products or our page or our business has changed their life. And it's so exciting. And it's like, at the end of the day, it's not us that did it. It's them taking that first step and investing in themselves and going on that journey and being confident to do that. And that's so exciting for me that we have a part of that. We're a part of that.
That's so rewarding. All right, next up, what is your attitude of gratitude?
So something that I'm really grateful for is my friends and family and the people that I surround myself with. I made a decision a couple of years ago to just get rid of like all the toxic friends in my life, all the toxic people in my life, and only surround myself with really supportive people that raise me up. And that's really made such a big difference to my life. So if you have a toxic friend in your life, definitely get rid of them. You'll feel so much better from it. And I'm really grateful for that.
Love that. All right. And each week I end with a thought of the week, which is really interesting because this week my quote comes from Robert Kiyosaki, which is interesting that you said he's like one of your favorites. So this week's quote of the week is financial freedom is available to those who learn about it and work for it. All right. Thank you so much for joining us today, Tia. I really appreciate it. All those great tips. I'm going to log into my account later today and see what the hell I've been doing.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It's been so much fun.
Thank you. Bye. All right, well, that's all we have for you today, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I'll be back next Tuesday with a new app. But in the meantime, remember to take control of your bank account and protect the skin you're in. Follow me on Instagram @CourtneyMangan and @SheWasTheFire. I hope you have a great week and I will see you next time.